favorite family. It's your girl, Sia Michelle, back with a really quick bonus episode for F Things. So, I have a really, really quick, like, reminder. We're going back inside of Matthew 7. And there's something that I want to revisit, because in this time, more than ever, God's people are being just really greatly deceived. They're already confused. They're already trying to figure out how to get through the wilderness. And there are so many people out there with all kinds of words of encouragement. And I just want to, one, remind them that when you carry a mantle of such sorts, you need to be wise and kind to bring people to Christ. And the world is already filled with so much deception and confusion. But as the body of Christ and as the kingdom of Christ, as we're operating now, you need to be wise. Don't follow the algorithm. Don't depend on what the world has offered you to help you. And then also to know that there are consequences for being judgmental. There are consequences for not operating in the fruits of the Spirit. So these are just kind of like some reminders, because I'm seeing a pattern and I'm noticing a trend in people that are operating within the body of Christ that really have not been kind to their listeners and their followers. And then also because they have such generalized view with no study, no patience. It's just it's a whole bunch of rush jobs. And I really want us to be wise in how we're counseling people. And you know, maybe for a season, you may need to go sit underneath someone's tutelage. Maybe sit underneath, even if you don't want to sit underneath anybody's tutelage or be a follower for a while. I need the body of Christ to really start discerning better when to release certain words and how to do them. Because not everything is going to be Spirit-led. And sometimes your hearts can be hardened. And if you don't check your heart, and if you're not sitting with the Father long enough before you release your words on social media, your YouTube, your podcast, your TikTok, whatever platform you have, if you are not sitting underneath the Father, if you're not facing Him with fear and trembling every day, then you are going to deceive nations that actually need you, because you're operating with this sense of pride and arrogance. Moses didn't make it to the promised land because of this arrogance. But that's a story for a different time, about him striking the rock and all that, you know, because listen, God's not always telling you to strike. He's not. Even though you can be anointed, you still have to obey the Lord. You still have to do what He told you to do. And sometimes it may take a while for you to fall on your face, fall on our face. And I'm not even pointing fingers at this point. So I'll be right back with you. We're going to be in Matthew 7 and doing some other Bible hopping, and you know how we do. And yeah, so just prepare your heart for what I'm going to say. I will be flowing with the Spirit, but I do want to take this time to go ahead and cover this word with the blood of Jesus. And I pray for each and every one of you that if I've done anything or have led you astray in any way or filled you up with contention, I apologize. I'm sorry. Lord, check my heart. Lord, I repent of my sins, and I stand for those, and I pray for those that may need your tenderness today. Okay, we're not perfect people. We're not here to judge anybody, but we are here to help collect the lost sheep. We're here to help lead your sheep to green pastures. I'm here, Lord, as a mouthpiece for you to give the folks the meat and potatoes that they need, okay? And I pray that it helps nourish their soul. So I will be right back. Favorite family, so I am back. We're going to be in Matthew 7. That's where we're going to start, and then the Lord will lead us as we go along. I'm reading out of the NLT version, and what's unique about this version is that they have headings for certain parts of scripture. So the heading for this part is do not judge others. I'm really trying to get to Matthew 7:21, but the Lord, he's so good that, as I always encourage you all to do, I do the same thing. I go to the verse that I've been thinking of, and I read before and after, and it just really ministers to me. So this is really going to go hand in hand with what I'm talking about today with my lesson. The first verse, I'm going to just go ahead and start Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is a standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, "Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Verse 6. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and turn and attack you. Effective prayer. That's the next kind of subheading right before verse 7, Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking, you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I'm actually going to skip down to the golden rule, which is another one of those subheadings. We're skipping to verse 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Next, there's another There's another, little subtitle called the narrow gate. And this is Matthew 7, verse 13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Next subtitle, the tree and its fruit, Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And this is what I was really trying to get to. Also, Matthew 7:21, underneath the subtitle, True Disciples. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Verse 24, which is underneath the subheading, building on a solid foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Verse 29, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. All right, favorite family. So thanks for reading that verse with me. So I was really emphasizing today as a reminder for Matthew 7:21, but the Lord just made me read the entire chapter. But we'll go ahead and focus on Matthew 7:21 real quick. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. In this time, to my leaders, to those who are followers and just need deeper relationship with Jesus, people are going to know you by your fruit. And we know in Galatians 5 what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. A lot of leaders I'm noticing, especially young leaders, I understand that we're passionate. I understand that we have a message to get out. I understand that time is running out. I understand that we don't play with demons. Okay? We don't. But there is a way to do that. And there's a way to command authority without being nasty and arrogant and, you know? And this is not judgment, but it's just like, what was that verse? It's iron sharpening iron. You all can go find that verse. I just had it earlier, but I'm just iron sharpening iron. And I found, like, recently I've noticed a pattern of nastiness amongst a lot of God's new leaders that are amazingly passionate for the Lord. And I'm very proud of them for stepping up and being bold. But I'm only telling you what the word is saying, and it's something to put into practice every day, and it's something to think about before you get on your platform and just start without any self-control, just talking and then claiming it's the Spirit. The Lord says here in Matthew that, yeah, you can get on there and say, Lord, look what all the things that I did for you. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus that are producing the fruits of the Spirit, the Lord is going to say, depart from me. I'm not judging you. This is truth. And your nastiness and your firm words and how you respond to others that may have opposing views or whatever, there's a certain way to handle that. And a lot of the Lord's mouthpieces have been so passionate that they're forgetting that you are not only a mouthpiece for the Lord, but you are a vessel of His goodness and His light. And if you are filled with arrogance, and if you are filled with like an unapologetic nature, if you're filled with that, it's not light, it's not producing light, and you, then what are you attracting? I once heard a minister say, you know, a lot of times in ministry, people seek to attract folks that already believe, but we're really called to attract those that don't believe. These people, children of God, these people are looking to us for our light and our peace, our love, our understanding. There's a light that you have. And if you are representing darkness just to scare, you're scaring people away. Representative for Christ, pulling souls in to represent Him well. You are made in His image. You have the help of the Holy Spirit. And you also have free will. So just to my leaders, it's time for us to be wiser in our approach. Okay? You could be leading someone out to say, this is exactly why they don't go to church. If they came to YouTube to get a word from you, or came to your podcast, or really if they met you in person, they need to see your love. And you need to be representing Christ, humbling yourself. I've really been trying, y'all, to not say you, but we. I take full responsibility as well. We need to be better children of God, men and women of God. We need to be better about showcasing our love, because that's where true authority is. It's in that grace. And this is shown here at the end of Matthew 7:29. We'll start at 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. So again, to my leaders and all of those that are representatives for Christ, that may feel a conviction, just know I get convicted on a daily. I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to sharpen you as iron sharpens iron, to let you know that we need to look like Christ in our approaches. And if the people are leaving the church and coming to more unconventional ways of worship, to have relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you that that arrogant spirit that I'm going to put all y'all in y'all place today, like all of that stuff, you're not any different from someone who's walking around with the religious law spirit. Or your old school aunts and uncles and them. Listen, as my dad used to always say, it's in them. Okay? Listen, these generational curses and chokeholds, they got a stronghold on some of us. It's toxic. And I had a friend that used to say, you know, my family gets into arguments really over who wants to be the most right. And it's ridiculous. And I've kept that with me, because that's what a lot of these people are looking like. It's just different branches of different people who want to be the most right. The only person that's right and was perfect was Jesus Christ. And he died on that hill. Y'all know that phrase, I'll die on this hill? Well, Jesus did. Y'all won't. Because we cannot die to our flesh first. We can't even die to our flesh. What makes us think we're in right standing with God? As I told you on the last episode of F Things, repentance is necessary on a daily. And then you got to forgive yourself, forgive others, and repent. So if a brother or sister in Christ is telling you that maybe your approach is a little wrong, maybe you need to show a little bit more grace and kindness, gentleness. You know, we just read the fruits of the Spirit. You may want to listen to them and check your heart. And I'm saying this because this happened to me recently. I'm not going to mention the name, but there was a person, a sister in Christ that I followed. You know what? Again, it's a pattern. And with all the love and grace, I honored this person in my message, and I let them know that, well, if you want to know the Lord, here's a verse. And they quickly responded saying, instead of saying like, thank you, God bless you, it was, I know who the Lord is. I was like, that's not what I said. I wasn't trying to correct you. And so after this long message this individual sent back didn't heart my post anything, I just said, I'm sorry. I must have misunderstood. And I'm sure that individual thought I was trying to come in the comments to cause dissension, but I was just really giving them an extra verse to find out who God is. I saw another sister in Christ. Go on live and immediately just started screaming at folks who, like, if this word is for you, it's for you. If it's not, it's not. Like, you don't know that some people, this may be their first time thinking about coming into Christ, and this is what they're met with. You all need to soften up. You need to soften up. And maybe it's because I myself, the Lord has crushed certain parts of me time and time again. And I'm getting emotional because I've been through seasons like Job where I've lost everything. Literally, I've been manipulated. I've been in car accidents, I've been attacked, I've been betrayed by those that were closest to me and manipulated by those that were closest to me. Everybody has their own kind of trauma, but you know, sometimes when you've been through a lot of different forms of trauma, you have a certain humility about people, because you never know what they're going through. And if they're coming to you for love and understanding, if they're coming to you with pure intentions and you greet them immediately with adversity and no repentance, are you really doing your job as a mouthpiece for Christ? If you're gatekeeping words just to for this idol of, you know, marriage and other things, like, y'all are, we've got to do a better job, church. You know, Mr. Rogers was a phenomenal TV personality. Very popular. If you haven't watched Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary, I advise you to do so. He was also a pastor. And what a way to just showcase God's love than to sit back and watch his show and watch how he communicated with people. Just a true light for Christ. Did y'all ever see him raise his voice? Or chastise anybody on his show? He has a quote that says, there are three ways to ultimate success. The first way is to be kind. The second way is to be kind. The third way is to be kind. Kind of sounds like love your neighbor as you love yourself, huh? It's a commandment. It's to love. And People that don't know Christ need to know us by our love. But a lot of God's mouthpieces are so arrogant. And they think that it's, oh, I have authority here. Who are you talking to? That demon is sitting on your shoulder saying, mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm. I understand that everything's not going to be rainbows and sunny skies. But you know, if you ever sit and listen to people that have been transformed by the renewing of their mind, you know, from other religions, and they've come into the love of Christ and the transformation to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, a lot of times, and I don't find this a coincidence, it's usually something very small. Not that they were scared into this decision, not that they were forced into this decision, not that they caught a prophetic word and all of a sudden they were changed. Sometimes, a lot of times, most times, they met someone who gave them a touch, a hug, who smiled at them, who saw them for just who they were as a person. They just want to be seen. They just want all they really needed, instead of doing all that acting out, they just needed a touch from Christ. A touch. Just like the woman with the issue of the blood, she just needed to touch Jesus. And I know there was a part of her that said, I know maybe if I just touch the hem of his garment, that he could free me from this iniquity, right? And a lot of times, all these people need is a touch. But they can't do it if you're steamrolling. Steamrolling all over the place. You look dangerous to touch. I don't want to touch you. Because you don't look like purity. You don't look like the light or kindness. You look... And I'm not saying, again, I'm not judging, saying that's what some of us look like, but sometimes it do be that way. That's the energy that you're putting off. And there are some mouthpieces for the Lord who I know that their stern words are always love, though. Like, there's some people who have it executed down perfectly. But some folks are just so unrefined. They haven't sat under anybody's tutelage. They haven't even sat to meditate over what they're about to put out. They just get on and it's just a whole bunch of word diarrhea. That's why the Lord said, a lot of people are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we pray with you? Lord, Lord. And God was like, no. Depart from me. I never knew you. Because a lot of folks haven't even marinated. A lot of us haven't marinated in God's presence enough so that he can fill us up. So we're not just flicking off at the mouth with no action, no real direction. Yes, God will say, start the ministry. Yes, God will say, I know, but I called you. You have to be wise. You can't always try to push out content just because of the algorithm. We've talked about this before, but the pattern, it just keeps going. You all know I sit on F things messages unless it's a sense of urgency. I sit on F things sermons a lot of times. I do not release them unless I've sat and noticed a pattern. Y'all, it takes observance. Like, beautiful. You know, there's a reason why the Lord made the Sabbath a day of rest. Okay? There's a reason why. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't still be in relationship with the Lord, but there's sometimes you need to rest that word because God's not finished downloading that information to you. But due to everybody wanting to be a leader and an influencer and a whatever, a guru, a self-help, it's just a lot of nothing that's coming out, or a lot of you know, folks just really just trying to gain followers and put out sensational words, sensation type words, and words about nothing but kingdom marriage. But you all forget that kingdom marriage is based on the way that God operates his kingdom in his church and his relationship with us. And if you don't have that relationship with the Father, then everything else is just going to fall apart. Even your kingdom marriage. All these folks, they just want a sensational word. They want to feel good. They're not doing any or enough of the work. And to be honest, that's why a lot of folks are still single. Your husband can't even find a lot of you women out there because y'all aren't operating in the fruit of the Spirit, and your husband needs to know who you are. So you need to go through that refining process. And I'm here to tell you, you're not any closer. You're not any closer until you learn that lesson. The good news is you are worthy to go through the process. The process hurts. Because if you can't be kind to other people, what makes you think God is going to trust you with one of his most prized possessions, with one of his babies? It's all a matter of perspective. It's not judgment, it's truth. You know, I realized myself that when I was in relationships in the past, there were certain things I didn't do that I didn't care to do. Even being married to, you know, a counterfeit in the past, a narcissistic counterfeit, you know, I was still their counterfeit too. There were times I didn't make a happy home. There were times I was manipulative. There were times that I didn't make up a happy house. I didn't always clean. I didn't always make up my bed. I didn't always pray for those men. But I had to be refined, softened, loved on by God, and return the favor to those around me in putting that into habit. And also watching my tongue. Also being careful about the things that I'm letting into my spirit so that I'm not coming home treating everybody in the household any type of way. I'm a lot wiser now. I've gone through different processes, and I'm a mother. You know, the soft parenting journey is ain't always easy. And so it really, no judgment at all. Looking at a lot of these young women, they're passionate, and men, a lot of these new mouthpieces for the Lord are very passionate. I don't doubt that they've been chosen for such a time as this, but I really need them to get some wisdom in their system. A lot of people are unmarried, unexperienced, and ain't got no kids, ain't just running off at the mouth, but ain't gone through nothing, ain't survived nothing. Ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm just here to tell you, this is not a word curse. It's not any of that. You know, we rebuke any of those ideas. But I'm here to tell you that life will be lifing. And if you can't get through these little things now with grace, if you can't be corrected by someone who who's offering you kindness and grace and you respond in arrogance? What y'all gonna do when life really hits you in the butt? You're gonna fall apart. And I just pray for you. I pray for you that God has mercy on you and that you have the strength to survive it, because there's just no reason for you to be so mean and nasty already. This is light affliction. People in other countries are getting persecuted and dying for their love of Christ. There's nothing new on this earth. A majority of the disciples died violent deaths because of their love of Christ. There are other martyrs in the Bible who died for Christ and served with grace. And they had a special grace and anointing in their fiery words. These people walked with Jesus. Do you really walk with Jesus? So as I promised, we'll be jumping around to another verse here. The Lord brought me to James 3. So we're going to go there to continue and wrap things up. James 3, the subtext of this is controlling the tongue. Number 1, verse 1. James 3, verse 1. Sorry. I don't know why I keep doing that. Number 1. Like this is a grocery list. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go whenever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn whenever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord the Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Subtext, true wisdom comes from God. Verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Boasting and lying. Let me repeat that. Boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kinds of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Y'all almost threw my phone. Because that was just so good. I love you, Lord. Praise you. It's about peace, people. It's not about you boasting, saying, this is what I have, and this is what the Lord has blessed me with. And like, it's good for a testimony to say the Lord has taken care of your every need. But I'm just seeing this pattern of like, these young mouthpieces for God just boasting and just, what happens when God strips all of that away? What are you going to do when he strips that away? Your car, your nails, your lashes, your glasses. What are you going to do? You know, the Walls Group have a song called Satisfied. And it goes, if I never get the house, the car, or be a movie star, if everything I have someday I lose, will I be satisfied with you? And my raise to that question is, will you be loving? Will you be kind-hearted? What would you do? How would you act? How would you feel? What would your heart posture look like? Would you still be able to sit up on that arrogant mantle of yours and boast in the Lord Jesus Christ if all that was taken away? If you didn't have a following or a YouTube, what happens if he takes it all? Would you still be satisfied? Would you still be at peace? Would you still be peace loving? But see, the thing is, a lot of us are comfortable now. And you still can't be gentle? You have all this privilege. You have a platform. Oh, what a privilege. But you choose to be arrogant and mean and nasty? If you're doing this now in comfortability, it's just so much here. But what I really want to focus on, I mean, you know, I just read it. The text tells on itself. Does the Bible not continuously repeat the same narratives of wisdom, love, peace, gentleness? There's a special grace. This is what grace is for. There's going to be a lot of times in life where you may not want to be peaceful. And granted, we don't make peace with demons. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. But as it says here in James 9, sometimes it praises our Lord the Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Stop cursing your brothers and sisters with your nastiness. We've got to stop. Just because these people believe something different, just because these people may come in your comments or your DMs and whatever, these people need love. You have every ability to showcase love and not hate. It's a sin we don't like. You rebuke the sin, but you love the person. You still show them love, grace, peace. As it says here, James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. Willing to yield to others. You're not always going to be right all the time. So just like I had that issue with that young lady, I'm not even going to call it an issue, but she had an issue with me saying something about her video. I really could have went all the way in because I really didn't like the way she put it. But you know what? That's not my issue. That's for the Lord. Her response to me showed me that she's not willing to yield to others. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a demon. Yeah, I'm in the comments, but I'm not coming to you with demonic agenda. There was nothing that was not how do I put this? Everything in that message I put to her was positive. So even if she was right, even if I misunderstood it, you can still show peace and love, not arrogance. It's just that simple. Other mouthpieces for Christ that I hear, like, where's your gentleness? It says gentle at all times. It didn't say some of the time. It said all times. You know why? Because it is a fruit of the Spirit. And so people that are trying to come to the Lord, if they don't see that on you, then it's not, then you're not representing the Lord. You're representing something else. Your intentions are decent. But again, if you're not operating out of the Spirit, the Lord is going to say, turn from me. I never knew you. You're not walking in relationship with Christ because you don't look like Christ. You don't act like Christ. You don't sound like Christ. This is not a call to be perfect. Because as we read here in James, you know, sometimes we be saying stuff. But repent. Just repent. I repent. I'm repenting. I'll repent again. I repent, Lord, of my sins known and unknown. Get in the habit, children of God, of repentance. And then allow the Lord to continue to change you through your repentance and through your total surrender to the Lord. And be a peacemaker. It's all about planting seeds of peace. If you're causing dissension, I don't care if it's your platform or not. People are watching you. People who need Christ, they're watching you. And this is why they pick you apart. This is why. They don't want to come to Christ because you don't look inviting. Because I'll tell you one thing that we've learned, even going back to Matthew 7 at the end when, let me pull it back up. Verse 29, for he taught with real authority. This is his real authority, real authority. And this is crazy that God brought me there because I was reading in Luke 3. So let's go ahead and jump. Luke 3 does the same. No. Luke 4. Sorry. Luke 4 does the same thing. It's like a mirrored verse, you know, of the Gospels. Praise God. Look how everything comes together. And I really love this. Really, because Jesus is the only one that can flex. Jesus is the only one that can flex. So I'll start and then I'll bring it all home. Luke 4. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. 17. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be, they ask? This isn't Joseph's son. And if you skip down to verse 32, when Jesus was casting out a demon in this man, there too the people were amazed because he was in Capernaum. You know, let me just read 31. I'm sorry. So Luke 4:31. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. There too the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. So let's bring this on home. First of all, Jesus is the only flex. I just really love how Jesus went in there and flexed his authority. All he did was read that scripture and sit down. And then people were mad. But the thing is, you can't deny the fact that he was gracious. And that grace gave him authority, made him speak with authority. It didn't say he ran up in there, cussed everybody out, said, I'm the Messiah. F y'all. That's not what the scripture said. He went in there, read them scriptures, said, I'm come to set the oppressed free. And prophecy's been fulfilled. And verse 22, everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. Y'all, we've got to be careful about things we say. So, to wrap everything up, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. You can always stop what you're doing, receive correction, and change, because you don't want to be standing on Judgment Day and be harboring those feelings of arrogance and discord and unrepentance. You don't want those in your heart. And you know, not everybody is called to be a teacher, and it's okay. Maybe you just need to follow for a while and sit under someone's tutelage and learn from the master himself. Jesus himself went in the wilderness to be tested. John the Baptist was in the wilderness making a way where there was no way. David hid in a cave for a time, was face to face with death. Moses fled from his normal life and then was called by God. He didn't even want to lead. A lot of folks in the Bible that were called to lead, they didn't even know why God gave them that mantle. I ask myself this all the time. You all, I'm going to be so honest. I wanted a simple, quiet life. I did. I was going to go teach high school and be a pastor's wife or something. Just go sit down somewhere. It's not what the Lord had for me. But as Shakespeare says, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. What do we just read in James? What did we just read in James? Not everybody should teach, and it's okay. Because there's a special type of grace that and responsibility that you have to have. We will be judged more strictly, so you can't get upset at people that are coming against you, because it's not always the devil that's being sent to correct you, and you need to know how to handle it with grace. You need to learn how to discern what this person needs. Everybody wants to call themselves a prophet and only speak about either the end times or kingdom marriage. There's much more complexity to what God has called you to do. And sometimes, a lot of times, that head is going to be so heavy from the revelation that you're getting. And sometimes you're going to have to be in a wilderness season to get the reason, or a prison. You might be in prison. You might be sitting on this revelation for a while. Look at Joseph. Look at Daniel. Everybody want to be an influencer and be dolled up. This life, this walk, it's more heaviness to it than us living in this luxurious life that God has provided for us. Sometimes it takes crushing. Sometimes it's going to take everything for God to accomplish His will. And I just pray that God has mercy, because I've been there. Maybe this is why I'm so emotional and why this message is so raw. It has to get out. But I really advise some people that are in positions for such a time as this to take a break and really, really go back to the Lord to see what your purpose is right now. Because you can be leading a lot of people astray because you're not healed. And you're bleeding over your followers, and you're bleeding over folks that are coming to you for Christ because of your wounds, because of your ignorance. And I mean, I've seen some ignorance. Not to be judgmental, it's just plain ignorance. I've seen folks that are mouthpieces of God tell God, "I don't like you right now." What? What? You don't have to like it, but you have to crucify your flesh and say God is good. I just glanced over a part in James, in James 1. Is it counted all joy? Yeah. Verse 2. James 1, verse 2. It's on faith and endurance. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He won't rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. I'm going to skip down to verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. I'm going to skip down to verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. I'm skipping to 26. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. The scriptures have really taken over. You know, I really try to pray as much as I can in my head and my heart. When I'm doing these F Things episodes, because I want to be led. I want to learn how to be led. And a lot of times this is what it looks like. I'm just being led. Led by the Spirit. And I apologize if you feel convicted, because it's not me that's doing the convicting. It's just the Holy Spirit is just doing the work. I'm not here to do anything to you but show you the truth and to tell you the truth. And another pattern I've noticed is a lot of these Christian influencers and such, they boast in the fact that what I'm saying, you should feel convicted. No, that's not what I want you to feel when you listen to F Things. True, there should be correction, but it's the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving you truth. I'm just rephrasing and summarizing parts of the scripture. Like, the scripture says it all, so... But what I want you to know is that you're loved more than anything. And everything that God does is perfect. Everything that the Lord does is just. I understand if you're upset with God, but don't tell him that you don't like him, that you don't trust him. That's not cute. Don't harp on other people that don't know the Lord like you do. Introduce them to it. Don't immediately shun them away because you think you know everything. Watch yourself, please. Watch your tongue. Be slow to anger. This is all throughout the Bible. It's about our gentleness and our grace. And if you cannot control yourself, you do not need to be teaching. You don't. Because you've become just like all the other religious leaders that you're escaping. It's all in the way you look at it. So, favorite family, before I keep rambling on and on, I'm going to let you all go. And just know that I love you with the love of Christ. Know that the invitation to trust God for everything, your life, your eternal salvation, the transforming of your mind, it's all available to you. And I pray that you find someone kind today that's going to be kind to you for no reason at all, so you can experience God's love in a way that you've never experienced it before. Because he's so good. I really don't know why I'm so emotional today, but it's really, really, it gave me a righteous anger to see so many souls that claim to be for Jesus but don't represent Jesus. And that's the truth. And I'm a warrior for Christ, but there's a certain way that you fight, certain tools that the Lord will lead you into how to use them. And I'm so glad and so thankful for each and every one of you all on my platform, and for believing in what the Lord has trusted me with. Because this mantle is not easy. So you all, trust the Lord with everything. If you need to give some of your favorite influencers a break, please do. Because the Lord is going to be working on a lot of them, and you're going to see it. Mark the Lord's words. You're going to see it. Some will be receiving a reward, and some will be receiving correction. And I pray that the Lord strengthens them and strengthens you all in the meantime. If you want a relationship with the Lord, all you got to do is call out to Jesus and ask him to show himself, and he will. And I guarantee it's going to be the best decision that you've ever made in your life, inviting Christ in to your heart. All right, favorite family, I love you so much. I'm always praying for you all. May you be blessed. May you be loved. May you be covered in the blood. I'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.